In the eventuality that this system refers to Isis, it can be related then to Sirius, which she is the personification as Sothis. Does it refer to an architectural orientation towards Sirius? The system can also be an indication for a sound or a frequency. This one looks similar to a key, and I am tempted to think that it could be a frequency key. Could this refer to the frequency that can be employed to move stones and open passages, or portal to other densities? Symbol 3. The Jd pillar is the hieroglyphic sign for AS stability. It can also refer to Osiris, the king of the underground realms, or Ta, the creator of humans and keeper of higher knowledge. The circle at the bottom intrigues me because it is not part of the original Jd sign. There are different explanations that I can see. The circle may refer to the hieroglyphic sign for Aora, or as well for Aedaia, but what to do with that? It can also be a sphere, and this reminds me of the blue spherical portals in the arcs, that interconnects all of the arcs together. When they activate, indeed, you can hear the frequency. It also looks like a spaceship. An arc perhaps? It is said that a huge spaceship is buried under the Khufu pyramid. Symbol 4. Symbol 4 plus the dream steel depicting the entrance to the underground complex under the Sphinx of Giza. We find again the hieroglyph for a passageway or a cavea as the destination in resonance with the first symbol, the spiral in the pyramid. This is to me a very clear representation of the underground complex beneath the Sphinx as it is pictured in the dream steel, for instance. The spiral is a sort of Ariadne TMS thread in the labyrinth, the path to follow. In ancient spiritual traditions, the spiral path represents the journey of consciousness. I considered the meaning of these four symbols, reading them as I would do with tarot cards or runes. It would translate as: Ao, go to the passageway in the pyramid. Activate the frequency key. The portal will open. It will bring you to the Chamber of Secrets. A. The Crystal EGGS. This experience under the Sphinx in 1998, in the company of Dr. Zai Hawass, brought back to my memory something that happened to me 10 years earlier, in April 1991, which I had relegated to as only a spiritual experience. But then, oh my goodness, everything suddenly made so much sense. One night, Thorhan came to visit me, inviting me for a strange journey. He was dressed in a long white mantle with large sleeves and a large golden belt, and his wavy blonde hair were shoulder length at the time. I happened to humbly be in my pajamas. We beamed up in front of the paws of the Sphinx, in Giza. The night was a bit chilly and I could feel the particles of sand in the nocturnal wind gently brushing my arms and my face. I can still remember the dusty smell of the desert. I was exhilarated because at the time, I had never been to Egypt before. Thorhan told me to grab his hands. "We are going under," he said. "The main entrance was walled, so we are going this way." Thorhan pointed at the high stone steel from the reign of Thutmose IV, between the Sphinx at TMS front paws. The steel effectively sealed or marked an entrance to the underground chambers. "There are two entrances," Thorhan said. "One between the paws of the Sphinx and one at a very precise angle between it and the Khafre'en pyramid." As I grabbed Thorhan at TMS hand, and he added cryptically, "We need to change our density." His body began to shine with a bright white halo and he became slightly translucent. A whirlwind of light shrouded us while I noticed that my own body shifted into the same translucence. Softly, we descended through the ground, which seemed to dematerialize as we moved through it. It is now clear to me that Thorhan shifted the particles of our physical bodies into a higher frequency, but we remained nonetheless in a solid state. We landed at the top of a stairway leading down to a long corridor cut into the bedrock, that was bifurcating to the left at the end of it. It had a high ceiling, and on either side were two series of square entrances giving access to lateral rooms. The place seemed to have been deserted for ages, but it was mysteriously bathed in a soft ambient light, emanating from an unknown source. Nevertheless, Thorhan lit up a plasma sphere in the palm of his hand to make the place brighter. The temperature dropped as we progressed further. Our voices were absorbed by the walls. There were remains of pictorial decoration. Thorhan bringing me in the Geyser Hall of Records -1991. I can remember a red painted decorative frieze at the top of the walls, just beneath the ceiling of TMS borderline. The architecture of the subterranean hall with square pillars was very similar to the lower temple of Khafre and also the Osirian of Abydos. The same people probably built all these structures. The ground was not paved, it was the raw bedrock. These rooms, Thorhan said, contain the remains of a very ancient civilization, with its science and its culture, way older than these monuments above us. Is this whole structure older than the pyramids? I asked. The monuments above us were built by those from Uruana, a very long time ago. The Egyptian pharaohs reappropriated them. It was a common practice among these monarchs. The technology that was hidden beneath these ancient buildings is from a different time and was put here by different people. Who were they, those who left this technology here? They were not from this galaxy. One day they will come back when the humans of Earth will be ready, and all of these places will reactivate. We entered one of the rooms, located halfway through the corridor on the right-hand side. The back wall of the room was furnished with shelves upon which were stored all sorts of weird objects and devices. Thorhan asked me to focus my vision inside one of four crystal eggs, each about 12 inches tall, displayed on the second shelf. These eggs, he said, are depository of great knowledge. They are only accessible by directly connecting to them through your consciousness, requiring one to be in the right frequency. You belong to those who laid these devices here. Hold your hands above them, it will recognize the energy signature. I held my hands stretched open over the crystal egg, as Thorhan invited me to do so. A flash of light burst inside my forehead and my consciousness merged with the egg, probably via my pineal gland. What I saw will mark my memory for a very long time. Elaborate holographic symbols and diagrams flew from the ovoid crystal device right into my mind. I didn't TMT know what they represented, but I knew, by a strange instinct, that they encoded a great amount of data. Mind interface with the crystal eggs. I could feel them impregnating my mind and travel to the deep core of my soul, as if something, somehow, somewhere in me, knew what it was about and was receiving this knowledge openly. Quickly, images appeared, sprouting out of these symbols, unfolding quite realistically in a physical aspect. I saw pictures of very ancient times, cities built similar to ancient Egyptian architecture, but with high-tech elements such as flying devices, bridges and elegant futuristic towers. I never saw, anywhere in my studies and travels, such a thing. I saw a white city on a round island, surrounded with concentric strips of land separated by canals. The sunlight reflected brightly on the sea. There were several pyramids of different sizes on this island, and a huge big one at the top of the central city. I also saw disc-shaped spaceships. Then it seemed to me that time rewind, and I saw even older ages, older versions of this place having different architectures and different types of spacecrafts. The landmasses of the Earth looked different than they do today. I saw violent wars, fire in the skies, red and yellow lights shooting at each other, explosions, toxic fumes, tsunamis, and disasters. I saw fleets of spacecraft leaving the Earth in a mass exodus. The memories embedded in these crystal egg devices were the record of times long gone, from older ages of the Earth with civilizations sometimes far more evolved than ours. Why are you showing me this? I asked. Because we are part of them. That is the reason why you can read these devices. One day, you will understand. My head spun with vertigo. My mind couldn't TMT comprehend this at the time. I lost my balance and as I stumbled backwards, I disconnected from the crystal egg. Thorhan's TMS steady arm kept me from falling to the ground. It was time to go back. These events remained blurry in my memory, lingering like a weird vivid dream with the fragrance of a strange spiritual experience, until I actually visited Giza and met Dr. Zahihawas. How many different civilizations, human and extraterrestrial, had intervened in the history of the Egypt? This question was a real head-scratcher, but I trusted time would bring answers. It always does. In early 2020, not long after I recovered the totality of my memories from my childhood ET abduction and rescue, I asked Anax if he could take me for another visit under the Sphinx of Giza, in the hope that I could maybe check out the other devices, and especially the crystal eggs. My wish was granted. My favorite Igaroth transported me via AO-like transfer resonance, which is a type of teleportation. We penetrated into the underground complex through the same hidden entrance between the Sphinx at TMS pause that I recalled Thorhan and I entering almost 30 years earlier. We descended into the corridor, traveling through the deep layers of sand, then reaching out to the entrance door. A shiver ran through my veins as I could contemplate again this place where I had been taken, for the first time 30 years ago, by Thorhan. This time, Anax lifted his right hand and a dimmed interior light switched on, coming from the walls but with no visible source. It was as if he had lit up the air. We walked into the same room on the right where the crystal eggs were stored. As we entered, an electrostatic discharge crackled behind us and a fascinating creature materialized. My heart was pounding. He was as tall as Anax, around 7 ft tall, and wore a dark green robe and long brown braided hair. Although he looked humanoid, his face features were feline from the upper lip to the top of his head. He had big golden cat eyes. He held a long scepter in his left hand. I noticed his dark brown nails shaped like claws. Anax saluted him and the being addressed me via telepathy. His name was Auron and he was one of the guardians of this place. He was a tall, strong humanoid being with the head of a lion. I couldn't really relate the dialogue we exchanged, because it was encoded with visuals and frequencies, very much the way the tall white beings from the Intergalactic Confederation communicate amongst themselves. At first I thought he was a Lan from the Lyra constellation. But to my surprise, this being was not even from this galaxy. His culture was more ancient than the seeding in Lyra. He belonged to the root race for all the feline humanoids spread throughout this galaxy, and was part of the same group of intergalactic races who left these devices on Earth. His species was another of the myriad races composing the Intergalactic Confederation. Auron invited me to place my hands around the top of the second egg. As he stood behind me holding the energy, Anax quietly stepped back into a corner of the room, in his usual graceful motion. The egg lit up from inside and the holographic codes projected from within, right into my head. I saw again the city with a old and newer architecture, then a huge pyramid with a crystalline green coating. My consciousness entered the pyramid to discover with wonder a vast hall, and in the center was a strange installation, a cylinder made of what appeared to be glass, measuring about 7 feet wide and maybe 100 feet high, disappearing into the ceiling. It laid on a square metallic platform, about 5 feet tall. Auron, guardian of the Hall of Records. The inside of the cylinder was filled with a golden plasma and around it, 8 purple crystals, each about 4 feet long, placed in a square pattern at each corner and midpoint. These crystals had their natural cut and were of various shapes, although they all had the exact same length. They didn't seem modified. The 8 purple crystals pointed toward the inside of the plasma-filled cylinder, at what seemed to be an angle similar to the slopes of the Cheops Pyramid and Giza, the frill cylinder generator in the Giza Hall of Records. Auron TMS voice echoed in my head, explaining that this was a frill power generator. For the first time in this life I heard the word, frill. The strangest thing was, I already understood how it worked simply by looking at it, as if it felt more like remembering rather than comprehending. The surrounding 8 purple crystal were activators. They created an intersection point inside of the plasma tube, and it activated it. There was an impulse coming from the platform underneath, and the 8 purple peripheral crystals conducted it and projected it into the cylinder. Frill would be created and harvested at the top of the cylinder, that ended in a conic cap. Left, comparing this frill cylinder generator with a Scout Sheeper TMS cylindrical central core engine, with a conic cap to harvest and transpond energy. Auron mentioned as well that these generators had been the cause of a terrible territorial war opposing this ancient colony to others, so they were all deactivated to avoid more greed and disaster. Most of these people eventually deserted the planet, leaving behind these generators as they could not TMT transport them in an emergency evacuation. When they left this star system, the generators entered a very long sleep, similar to the technology and archives of their time on Earth, hidden buried under the ground and the oceans of this planet, as well as in many other places in this star system. Several ancient Egyptian records mention a conical device named Aobenbenu, also thought to be a pyramidion, upper part of a pyramid. This device was kept in the city of Aoanua Heliopolis, the city of the sun, home of the god Ra, that was said to be founded by the primordial god Tem, or Aoatuma. The pharaoh Akhenaten also claimed to have had one. Heliopolitan mythology recounts that the world was organized from chaos by a god named Atum, who emerged air from the waters on this particular stone. Real waters are the superfluid of a stargate. It was said to have stupendous powers and was kept highly secured. Considering ancient Egyptian grammar, the word Aobenbena is derived from the verb Aobene, to rise, and also the word Aobena on its own means Aofertilizationa. The original shape was conical, and it was depicted at a later date as a pyramidal capstone. Note that the triangular determinative symbol, always put at the end of a word to show what we are talking about, can either indicate a pyramidal or a conical object. In hieroglyphic scriptures, there is only one word to describe both the conical stone and a pyramid TMS capstone, and it is impossible to know which shape the determinative refers to, as hieroglyphs are flat, bidimensional pictograms, a Amenemhat TMS pyramid capstone. Middle Kingdom, 12th Dynasty, Daza, c. 1850-1800 BC. Under a winged sun disk are hieroglyphic texts offering the king access to the sun god. During my years working in Egypt, I loved to spend time around this basalt capstone in the Cairo Archaeological Museum, photo above, located at the time in the entrance hall. Despite it is about 3.800 years old, this pyramidion still radiates a tremendous power. This is what always shocked me. Being in its vicinity feels like stepping into a different quality of ether. According to the official belief in the ancient Egyptian theology, the god Tem masturbated to create the first male and female gods, Shu, air, and Tefnut, moisture. Could this be referring to the creation myth of Adam and Eve engineered from the genetic material from Inki? Could Inki be Tem? If this is the case, it must only be the remnants of ancient events that occurred way earlier in time, when the Anunnaki first landed on Earth, as I cannot believe Heliopolis city would be that old. It is a regular thing with myths, different cultures may take them each as their own, developing their customized version including local special places. In any case, this proves an exchange with the Anunnaki culture in the past of Egyptian history. Listen now to this other element part of the Egyptian creation myths. Shu and Tefnut left their father Tem at the Benben, to build the rest of the world. Tem became concerned about his child Rena and he sent his Aie in search for them. The Aie, a craft or drone of some sort, brought his children back. Tem dropped tears of emotion, love, on the Benben device, and this is how humans were created. Once again, water is key element here. Was the Benben Estonia a quantum teleportation device such as the top conical element at the top of a frill generator that transfers energy to somewhere else? Or is it a genetic engineering machine? Could have it been both at the same time? Let us return to my experience in the Hall of Records underneath Chaiza. My consciousness was brought back to the underground room and Aurong invited me to place my hands on the third crystal egg. The energy was different in that one, much more powerful. My consciousness was this time propelled into space. I saw trillions of galaxies like stardust. My consciousness sensed the heart of each of these galaxies. It was like a song, produced by modulating sound frequencies. Incredible. The song of the galaxies. Then, as my awareness wandered in the eternal infinite, I sensed that all these galactic hearts were connected to a singular multi-dimensional source. My consciousness could approach it only to a certain point, before it would scatter and become merged into source. I might have lost the individuality of my soul. With a feeling of spinning vertigo, I was brought back to the crystal device, in the underground room where I fell backwards on the ground. Anax lifted me up. Auron was gone. On April 1, 2022, in the process of writing this book, I decided it was time to look into the last crystal egg. With time, I had reactivated my dormant abilities, particularly since I had been in contact with the Nine. Thanks to Una, I remembered my true origin and as Thorhan always says, AO remembering is activating a. I was shown an entrance to the Jaiza Hall of Records by Dr. Zaihawas, invited to visit the underground complex by Thorhan, then by Anax, so I thought that this time, I would try to do it by myself. I was taught the ability of conscious projection, 2 years ago, under the guidance of Koron, when he showed me how to leave my physical body and project my consciousness wherever and whenever I wish to be. The fact that I rather write Aetobi instead of Aetogoa is very important, as this technique involves a quantum projection and not a linear movement. It is not either remote viewing, as remote viewing does not TMT involve a physical experience. I did not TMT try again by myself until the day Una made contact with me, on board the mothership of the Intergalactic Confederation in orbit of Ganymede, when she pointed her index at my forehead and I was propelled inwards. Then she visited me in my bedroom a few days later and did it again, activating the vortex in my pineal gland, in order to propel me into the void and meet with the Nine. Doing so, she had reactivated my dormant psychic abilities. So I know, now, how this works. It makes sense to me that shamans can perform these type of things a lot more easily than the majority of people, but it is important to know that this ability exists, dormant or awake, in all of us. Now, I came to this point in my life when everything I have lived until now is making sense. The bloodline of Baltic shamans from my grandmother, the Magdalene royal line from my grandfather, the genetic Agaroth input from Anax, my years of shamanic training and druid practice, my degree in Egyptology, meeting Zaihawas, and all these years spent working in Egypt, all of this has led me here and now, for I have gained the necessary knowledge and experience to be able to perform what I am meant to do. I laid down and relaxed. As all shamans know as the basics procedure, similarly to a warp drive flight, a stargate jump or a teleportation, I set the destination point, Aojiza, in front of the paws of the Sphinxer. I placed on my forehead a small crystal I had found in the sand in Jaiza to link with the frequency signature of place. Then, I gathered my consciousness inside of the vortex, spiraling inwards towards middle of my head. With a blast, I imploded my consciousness into the singularity at the center of this vortex. And I was there. I was standing in the same place as when visited the Sphinx with Thorhan in 1991, in front of the Dream's Deal. It was night time and I could see the constellation of Orion above me, with a particular luminous point pulsing, under the belt. I found it strange. It was showing me something. I found out after my return that this star was Sigma Orionis. The night was quiet and I welcomed delightfully the fresh nocturnal wind on my skin, while breathing this particular dusty, mineral smell of the desert. The door was there, between the paws of the monument. I walked towards it. Despite the physical sensations, I knew I was in a different density. Of course, all densities have physicality. Two guardians stood on either sides of the door. They seemed like mechanical creatures wearing Anubis masks and holding a spear. They stepped aside to let me in as I approached. The old heavy door moaned on its hinges as it opened for me, and suddenly, the same humid smell jumped at my nose. The same strange twilight. I walked down the stairs to the large corridor, with the rooms on either sides cut into the rock and their simple, square openings. I recognized the entrance of the room where the crystal eggs were, but my attention was caught towards the end of the corridor, to something that wasn't TMT there before, something new, a bright green glowing light coming from the left end of the long corridor. I decided to go and have a look. I discovered stairs descending towards another corridor, which I could have never guessed about before, because the end of the long main corridor used to be bathed with twilight, barely sufficiently lit. Something had obviously activated since my last visit. I walked down two steps of the stairs descending to this other corridor, and I bent to see further ahead. I distinguished, at the end of that lower corridor, a bright room with a modern seat in the middle, and also glowing blue panels on the walls. The room looked semicircular. My heart was beating fast and my reason told me, okay, this must be the technology that has activated since the Cedars arrived. I need to finish with the crystal eggs and come back after .A. The crystal eggs were still in the same place, on the same shelf, as if time had stopped thousands of years ago. I remember, the first one on the right, was about Aetimia. The second was about ancient devices and AoE magia technology, and the third one was about source and consciousness. Now what about the fourth one? Suddenly, a frightening silhouette wrapped in a dark grey hooded cloak materialized behind me. My heart jumped in my chest. Auron! I exclaimed as he removed his hood. You scared me! The feline humanoid, guardian of this place, smiled gently and welcomed me back. So you come for the fourth egg, he said. Yes, I replied. You may look into it, then. As he pronounced these words, the fourth egg, last on the left, started to glow with a red-purple light running through its veins ATM against the bluish hue of the egg itself. What is that? I asked. You are about to learn about it. Thank you. I have a question, please. What is downstairs, at the end of the corridor? The ancient devices have awakened. Is that a ship down there? I mean, an ark? I do not name it like this as it cannot fly in the way you comprehend it, but it can take you anywhere you wish to go, in space or in time. Oh, a portal of some sort then? A transport device that does not fly. A stargate. This would be a more appropriate description. Auron directed me to me the fourth egg on the left with his hand. I knew there is a vastly extended web of structures underneath this plateau, with so many different things, ETMS like a labyrinth on several levels, so better focus first upon what I came here for. I placed my hands around the crystal egg and as it began to glow, Auron continued. This one is a weapon, he said. I was straightly sucked into it. My consciousness felt as if it was caught in a sticky goo, invisible but tangible. I started to panic when I heard Auron ATM's voice in my mind. Fear comes from the loss of control. Powerless you are now, at the mercy of the controller. Now I really started to panic. How was I supposed to get out of Aether? The more I tried to extract myself from it, the more I was stuck. I fought it harder, and the harder I fought, the more it had control upon me. And then Aether took control of my jaw. My mouth opened and Aether was going to speak through me. If by fear it controls you, it speaks and acts through you, said Auron. A rage came from the depth of me. Calm down. Stand still and it will lose grip. Take back control. I relaxed and indeed, it worked. I took back control of my body, in a blast. I could breathe again. I redrew my consciousness from the holographic field of the egg and stepped back. What was that? I asked. A terrible weapon. This device holds a defensive technology with great power. What a TMS inside can be used to build an impenetrable material such as shields or transport devices. It can also be used to deceive or stop an enemy by targeting it like a weapon. It activates with the frequency of fear.